Acts chapter 16. If you look over at 1536, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Let's see how they did with that plan. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would bring a message this evening to your people to equip and encourage and guide. We thank you for the wisdom in your word. We thank you for the way you lead and for the way you direct on a large scale and a small scale. And Lord, when we're obedient to you, we can be successful in that. You pick the scale. Help us to be obedient. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God leads active people in ministry. This passage says that. It does not say God leads people in ministry. This passage says God leads active people in ministry. We could find that God leads people in ministry in other places, but the emphasis here is on action. And if I can just say it briefly, God led the Apostle Paul and the others that traveled with him, first of all, to a city, and then, well, province, to a city, and then to an individual. Their first convert, Lydia. Let's pick up some lessons. What we found in the previous message here in the end of chapter 15 and beginning of 16 is as it relates to discipleship. It's in the box. We need to be sure we're doing everything inside of what Christ commanded us. There's no need to look outside the box when it's all right here for us to do. And discipleship is in the box, and it involves training others for ministry. It involves training others, and the challenge there is for us to always be thinking in terms of discipling others, training others. And so whenever we can, bring someone else along with us, visiting, working, mowing the lawn for the church, or any number of things that we do, if we could take someone else with us and learn to plan ahead, go through the extra effort to bring somebody along, they too will be involved. They too will be discipled. It could be a youth. It could be a peer. But the other thing we found is that the ministry of the Apostle Paul and others were confirming the churches, the end of verse 41, chapter 15, 41. And they were establishing the churches, chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith. And it's a joy to know that God's word provides stability and strength in our day and in our age. So, but we look here this evening at God leads active people in ministry, chapter 16, verses 6 through 15, to the city. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. You know, if we hadn't read that before, I think we would have stopped there and done one of those. They had preached, they had pursued, they had gone through, and they were looking, and the Spirit of God forbids them from preaching the word. What is going on? You know, what must it have been like for the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy? Weren't they? They were on a mission, weren't they? Confirming the churches, strengthening the churches. They had letters from Jerusalem that urged the believers to recognize you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. That was settled back in Jerusalem, and that was clear going forward. And they were on a mission to do this. Well, we see here a way, one way, that our Heavenly Father leads His people. Open doors is another. We use that often, that expression. But we find it in the text of Scripture, too, that God opened a door. And so that is a way. But here's another way that God leads. And I'd be curious if you've experienced this. As they were on a mission, they were forbidden to preach in verse 6. Also in verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or attempted to go into Bithynia. These are provinces, as I grasp from looking at different maps. They attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Can you imagine? driving to a friend's house to talk to them about Christ, and you just get this sense that you shouldn't be going there? Getting ready to pick up the phone and call a friend, and you get this sense that... Or how is this for a missionary, Todd Beeman, for example? You know, his desire was to go back and plant two churches, not one. I mean, why not go big, right? Two churches in a proximity that allows for a little separation from a current ministry, but at the same time, they can get together at times, as I understood him describe it. How is the Lord leading, and how does God direct? And we're going to see something here, a pattern of the way that God can direct. We know, moving down verse 9, we see, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So to say it succinctly, not here, but here. Anybody ever been led by God that way? One of my favorite jobs, I would sit on my bike when I was a boy, when I was Isaac's age, and I would watch heavy equipment operators work for hours and just really enjoyed watching that work happen. And I got a job working for an excavator during college years. And boy, that was fun. I mean, it was this equipment, that equipment, and the other thing, and now we get a license for a truck and go dig swimming pool holes, and man, that was fun. You know, but God led me to Bible college for ministry. And so it's interesting how God works, and I was up on the hill, not far from the college, up behind Heritage Baptist Church, for those familiar with that in Clark Summit, working on a development up there, and running a dozer, trying to just kind of grade a field. A challenging task to grade a hay field, but that's what I was sent to do. And, you know, God's working. You're thinking, "What, Lord, where do you want me to go next? When I finish school, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And this dissatisfaction with that work that I had always enjoyed was as real as could be. And I thought to myself, what am I doing as the dozer crept along? What am I doing sitting here pushing dirt? It's not this. And it wasn't a couple of other things. And the Lord led. And for you, and I saw different ones say, it's not this, but this. This isn't how God always leads, but he can. He did. And he can lead in our lives also in this way. You know, as we think about young people and their decisions for college and career choices or those interested or looking for a spouse someday. Sometimes it's not this one and it's not that one. And then, boy, the choice gets clearer and clearer the more negatives you get on any number of issues that we seek God's leading on. Families at work and various decisions. It's not, you know, this. And, you know, in our church's area of outreach and missionaries to support and the processes that we go through as a church to sense God's leading. It's interesting because in this way, God led them. They had three indicators, not just one, of where to be. It wasn't here, it wasn't here, it was here. And that seems to add a little assurance to it. God does lead. God does lead. And we can count on him to do that. Notice verse 10 with me. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering. This is a very strong language in the Greek text for the level of certainty that they had. I mean, this process that God used for them became so sure for them. You know, when God leads this way, we have these three indicators or more, and how then we must follow. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were there in that city abiding certain days. God does lead. And we can have assurance, and we desire, do we not, to have assurance of his will as a church, as individuals serving him here, that we are on track, we're doing what he wants us to do, and working forward. But notice, too, and I think this will become very apparent as I share an observation with you, we should be active, not passive. As believers, God wants us to be doing what we know, his revealed will. He wants us to be doing what we know he wants us to do. His scripture is clear on responsibilities that we have. He doesn't want us to be, in a sense, sitting at home saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying. Notice with me, I'd like to go back and highlight the verbs that describe the effort. And by the way, if you took the time to look at a map, the distance that these men, let's do that. Let's go back. If you have maps in your Bible, please consider two things. One, go back to the map of Paul's missionary journeys. Share with a friend or a family member if you must. I'd like you to see two things. The first journey, it's a smaller loop ministry in comparison to the second one. If you notice the path of that smaller loop ministry from Antioch to Cyprus to, is it Perga, Pamphylia, Antioch, Lystra, Derbe, and then backtrack and then sail back to Antioch. Notice Paul's desire was to retrace those steps. Chapter 15, verse 36, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached. That was his intended path. Now look at the second missionary journey, and where does that path go? By the way, it varies in different maps as to, it's really hard to say exactly where he went other than the provinces that he went through. And he wound up way over there in Troas by the Aegean Sea, picked up Luke, and went on from there over to Philippi. That is an enormous distance in the old first century travel days. An enormous distance. So let's come back and notice the verbs in Acts 16. Please notice these. Count them if you'd like. They were busy. They were very busy. They were moving. They were active. Now when they were gone, there's one, throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or attempted to go to Bithynia. There's the third. Verse 8, and they passing by Mysia came down, that's 5, to Troas. Skip down to verse 10. After we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly gathering, the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. There's about 8 verbs there that show the progress of their moving across that area and around, skirting around Asia. What do I see? What are we seeing here? We should be active. There is enough of God's will revealed in Scripture for us to be doing. We must not sit and wait for God's leading. It's interesting that Paul's initiative was the spark here, but he was acting within the Spirit's leading in Acts 13 for the work that God called him to. He was acting within our Lord's instruction in Acts 1:8 to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and so on. And for us to act within and to be active and praying, to be involved in an opportunity like the WARE Patriotic Celebration, and to gather and see how we can have conversations with people in town and share pamphlets and tracts and seek to maybe even establish connections with people. Where can we connect in WARE? How can we connect? Visitation. I think one of the keys to outreach, well, let me say it this way. One of the keys to evangelism is to have already established a discipline, a practice, a habit of going out and seeing people or having them in our homes. Christian, non-Christian, neighbors, be it whoever. If you're more comfortable having people over, let me give you some names. If you're interested to go, if you're like Lisa and you can strike up a conversation with anybody anywhere, you know, we need to begin to do more of this kind of ministry, and I'd like for us to be able to get to that place. But can we draw a principle out of this as it relates to evangelism? And it was a delight, and it always is, to hear of people witnessing. It almost seems like we ought to be active before we pray. Not necessarily, but to pray without being active in evangelism, is that really showing God our heart's interest? But to be out there, to be sharing, to be talking to people, to be active as these men were actively moving and pursuing and striving to get to a place. I wonder, it would have been interesting to hear their conversation. God led them to a province, he led them to a city, and he led them to their first convert. Notice with me verses 13 to 15. God led these active people to the province, he led them to the people. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Or, you know, I have a note in the margin that talks about this having to do with a legal place where Jewish people could gather to pray. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. By the way, does anybody have a note in your Bible about the personal pronoun we and us? Well, let's talk about Luke for a few minutes, because we just picked up Luke just got picked up by Paul. Up here in verse 10, I think, is the very first place that we see the writer of this historical New Testament book including himself in the text. We, us in verse 10, we in verse 11, we in verse 13. Let's talk about Luke for a minute. Go with me, please, to Acts 1. We're going to go back just a little. Think about Luke, the writer. And the certainty with which he wrote, and the certainty with which he desired his readers to have, appears both here and in the gospel. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that which Jesus began, both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by what? Many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Luke wrote to be persuading others concerning the truth, the absolute truth of Jesus Christ. Go back to Luke 1, please. Luke 1. Verse 1, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us, he's persuading of the truth, even as they delivered them unto us, from which the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Luke was not an eyewitness, but he had heard from eyewitnesses. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. This from the very first could mean that he received it from God himself, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke was understood to be one that was good in the Greek language. It appears that he was from Troas. Later in Colossians 4, he is described this way: Luke, the beloved physician. And so Luke now is part of this account, and he is involved in this ministry. Let's go to verse 14. And a certain woman, let me back up to 13. And on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Where did the Apostle Paul habitually go when he got to a city? Synagogue. I wish there were synagogues in New England towns today. Preaching points, preaching places. We'd go in and sit down and you'd be invited to speak. Wouldn't that be handy? I mean, if you want a connection with people, that's what they did. Apparently, there wasn't one here in Philippi. But they found a place where Jewish people would meet. They found a place. God led them to Lydia. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, I think she was a pretty strong character. Lydia, not just because she sold, but there's a word in this passage that, you know, that describes her, and she was a pretty strong character. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which, by the way, was in the province of Asia where they were forbidden to preach. Interesting how God brings about things. She worshiped God, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. What are we finding here? God led this group to this lady that God had prepared. God opened her heart. They found a place. They found a starting place. It'd be great for us to pray that God would direct us to a starting place in the town of Ware. Or maybe there are starting places that we've experienced over the years, but to be able to grow an outreach ministry on that basis, from those places, from those connections. Again, there are ideas that we need to work on correlating and begin to be more active together and getting out to share Christ. But we need to search for a starting place, or what had we used in the past that we can further on today when it comes to outreach. Connections with people in the town of Ware. We find here that God saves Lydia. One, and her family. How different is this from the day of Pentecost where thousands came to Christ? And later in chapters 3 and 4 in the book of Acts. May we say this, though, that God was faithful and bringing fruitfulness to his name in this Riverside prayer meeting. She heard, and God opened her heart. God saved her soul. She attended, she listened unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come unto my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I want you to see four things that we need to see, I believe, as convictions of the process once a person is saved, to bring them through these steps. Saved, baptized, we recognize they're saved, and encourage them to serve. I mean, if those aren't fundamental, how it's supposed to be, a person comes to know Christ as their Savior, they get baptized, and that baptism includes a recognition of other believers. Yes, they're saved. That's what she asked. Come to my house if you've count me faithful, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord. And so to encourage that those who are saved but aren't baptized to be baptized. We have connections, each one of us in this church. And only God can see them. I thought it'd be great if there was a way of you know, plugging these into software somewhere where we could see the web of connections between people. But we'll leave that to the Lord because he oversees it. But it's those connections that we need to be using to urge this kind of, this is the right way. Those who are saved and not yet baptized, to urge them to become baptized. Those who are maybe baptized but not yet members, to urge them to join the church. Be committed. Put your stakes down and settle in here with us and grow and serve. And serve. Remember Will Murphy, one of the friends, and he was a deacon, a Sunday school teacher up in up in Shelburne for years. You know, and sometimes people come and they don't just get involved. And Will said, when I got saved, I didn't know any different. I got baptized and I started serving. Let's not give up on that. Let's keep nurturing and encouraging. Maybe God would have us to have a new believer's Bible study where several would come. And maybe it could fit in the study back there during Sunday school. I don't know. But somehow, I think there are a few people that could be nurtured along and brought along and say, this is how we grow. This is how the Lord would have us to. You know, they learn the basics. They get encouraged. This is how it's supposed to be. She urged them. You see the word there? If you judge me faithful. No, she besought us. Luke says, she besought us. She urged us to stay at her house. She wanted to provide housing for them. You know? And then she says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And then he adds this little statement, and she constrained us. That's a strong term. That's almost it, the word force is in the definition. So this was one of those strong ladies that said, guys, you're staying at my house. I got a place for you. And but she wanted to serve. She had a desire and a passion to serve the Lord. And isn't that what we want to see? This is just beginning in Philippi. There are others we know. Paul's about to start a jail ministry. Not the way you'd normally like to start one. But he does, and people get saved there. But let's not give up on this biblical pattern. Saved, baptized, and serving. God led them to the people. God led them to the province. And we can count on God to lead us and lead us to be fruitful. If he wants many, and he has many in mind, or if he has one or two, at times we'll see God work and we'll see God be pleased. Let's pray.